Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 601, 602 straight up Chicago time, 6:02 p.m. Welcome to the Chicago time. And this is the first day of the World Series. It starts tonight, folks. So if you're listening to this show, you know, at some later date, you know that it's a dated show, it's a dated episode, and it's all about the World Series. They are gearing up. I believe it starts 1 hour from now. And I'm hearing they are ready to take the field. They are ready to take the field. And I, like I said before, in so many of these shows and so many during this time, actually, that this is the Chicago Cubs. And I'm pretty sure the Cleveland Indians, a team that they're going to be playing tonight, these people, these players, these great talented players, they had to have this dream. It was a dream for them. Being in the playoffs, being in the World Series was a dream come true to some of these kids. They didn't let anything stop them from getting to where they wanted to be. They didn't let the negative voices chime in on them and say, hey, wow, you can't do it. You can't make it. They said, get the hell out of my way. And look where these kids are. The World Series. The World Series. And it is the World Series because the world is on notice. you know, the world is on notice for this. And this is great. And this is wonderful. And I kind of wished I was there. I wished I could be at the game. But the prices of the tickets, man, the prices of the playoff, the World Series tickets are out of my league. I mean, it really is. World Series tickets. I mean, I heard this or I read this, that World Series tickets are all about, it's a bunch of price gouging. I mean, I've heard, it's not substantiated, but I've heard in some cases, some of these people are paying $50,000 for box seats, $22,000 or more for standing room only. And this is at the World Series. That knocks me out. I'm out of the box on that. So, but there is nothing like sitting in a stadium and watching the World Series. However, these prices, I've heard another talk show host say this, these prices are just, you know, they're ridiculous. Seem like these big games, playoffs and the World Series, seem like these big games when they come along, they're just for the rich. And they knock out the main street, middle class, working Americans, because we can't afford $50,000 for a box seat or even standing room. I mean, they're taking away the glory of these games, I think, the way these tickets are priced. And nobody is doing anything about it. It's just letting this stuff happen. But I think, you know, in all of this, I really do think the best seats are in your living room. The bets, I mean, you don't have to deal with the crowd. Some people don't like crowds. I'm one of those folks that do not like crowds, but sometimes you can't help but, you know, be in one or two crowds every now and then. But I don't like crowds, but, you know, I would love to go to a game. You know, I would love it, but hey, wow. But there's no doubt about it. The best seats for the World Series game, or even the Super Bowl for that matter, the best seats are in your house, in your living room. You know, you got your big flat screen TV in front of you, and you got maybe popcorn or some snacks or something. And, you know, you're watching it with your family, you know, your son's daughter, whatever. It's a great thing, you know, and you don't have to worry about crowds. You don't have to worry about somebody pissing on you or whatever. And, you know, the greatest seat I think you can have is probably in your own living room. You know, so the World Series is tonight. I mean, and I'm just as enthusiastic about it if I was there. And it's fun to see and witness people who, okay, let me take it back a little bit. The Cubs haven't won the World Series since 1908. The Chicago Cubs, the Cleveland Indians, they have not won a World Series in 1948. So these teams, you know, I mean, they are a little bit behind the ball. The Cubs have not won longer than a World Series, longer than the Indians haven't won a World Series. But anyway, it's been a long time for both of these teams. And you look at it this way, both of these teams, they are hungry for a win. They are hungry for a win. But you think of it this way, these young kids, they've gotten to the Super Bowl, I mean, to the World Series. They've gotten to the World Series, and they are going to remember this for the rest of their days, getting to the World Series, what it took them to get to the World Series. More than just their bats. They had dreams. They had goals. They made that effort. And you can too. And I've talked about this yesterday on the show. Don't let nobody stop you from your dreams or your goals. These kids did not. They're living their dream. They're in and at the World Series. So if there's something you want to do in life, there's something that you have a talent for, do it. Don't let anybody stop you. Get rid of the negative people around you. Get rid of those people who do not support you. Because to make it to the Super Bowl, to make it to the World Series, I keep saying Super Bowl, to make it to the World Series, you got to have support. There got to be people in your corner, mother, father, sister, friends. But if you don't have anybody in your corner and everybody's down in you and say you can't do it, you can do it. You can do anything you want to. You can be anything you want to. You just got to get the negative voices out of your ear and show them that you don't need them. If they don't want to support you or jump on the bandwagon, then tell them you don't need them. Don't listen to them, because if you listen to them, then your life is going to be going downhill. You know, because I've talked to so many people and I've had so many people on my show, you know, who reiterate the same things that I'm talking about. And they made it. They said they wouldn't have made it if they listened to people who told them that they could not make it. So you think about these successful guys. You think about these successful young guys on the Cubs and the Cleveland, these World Series teams that's going to play tonight within 1 hour. Wow, that's exciting, right? They got here because they had dreams. They had support. They didn't let other people tell them that they couldn't do it. But they got rid of all those negative voices around them. You have to believe in yourself. Even if others do not believe in you, believe in yourself and you will get there, my friend. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for tuning in. 6:09 straight up Chicago time. It's daylight savings time, folks, and it's dark in Chicago because of it. That's wow. Yeah, well, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Herb Kent, the cool gent. He was a DJ, a disc jockey, a beloved figure in Chicago, and he died Saturday evening after doing one of his radio shows. He has been doing radio in Chicago for 70 years, so he's a fixture. He was a fixture, and he still will be. His voice will still be heard. They're planning his funeral, his wake, and all of this kind of thing. And I'm going to get more information on that. Herb Kent, the cool gent, the super gent, one of the greatest guys in the history of radio. Believe me, because he was one of my favorites. I listened to him. I mean, who did not? Who in the black community did not listen to Herb Kent? No matter what station he was at or on, we all, you know, listen to the cool gent, because he wasn't one of those disc jockeys that who are boring. He always was exciting to talk to. I mean, he had callers calling to a show. I mean, he was just on the ball. He had a great, great voice, one of the greatest voices in history. So I'm going to get some more information on Herb Kent. I mean, it's all over the internet, folks. So, you know, if you don't hear it on this show, it's all over the internet. You can always hear it on your local news, especially if you are a Chicago resident. So Herb Kent, the cool gent, passed away 70 years in broadcasting, and we lost a giant. That is no doubt about it. He was 88 years old. Herb Kent, the cool gent. He will live on as long as this show is on the air. You know, and I always tell people, we're all going to die. We just got to prepare for it and make sure that our loved ones are prepared for it. One of the things I love about the Super Bowl is that a lot of older Americans come out. They come out of, you know, I mean, you know, they come out of the woodwork and saying that, where were you in 1908? There's a lot of people living right now who remembers 1908, who were living in 1908 when the Cubs first won the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of people who's living in 1948 when the Cleveland Indians first won, not the Super Bowl, but the World Series. I got to get that straight, folks. I keep screwing that up. But I'm just excited. I'm just an excited fan. Totally excited. So it's going to be less than an hour, and the World Series will be starting. And we will be in and out on the World Series and Herb Kent for the rest of the show. We do have a guest on the show today. We do have commentary, and this is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I am excited, folks. I hope you're excited about
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
Well, Chicago hits back. Yeah, Chicago is, as I'm speaking today, folks, Chicago, the city that I'm broadcasting from on the south side of Chicago, out of my studio, and it's dark. Chicago strips Trump of the honorary street designation. That means all of these Trump signs around Chicago, street signs, are being taken down as I speak. Trump has said some really low-down things about Chicago, and some of the aldermen are pissed off, and they're taking down his signs. Even some of his name is coming off some of these buildings in the city of Chicago, and I think that's a good thing. This guy has done nothing but denigrate Chicago, even in the debates. They're killing each other in Chicago. They're gunning each other down. I can stop the violence within 2 seconds once I become president. Yeah, well, they're taking them down. They are taking them down. I mean, you know, there was no vote. There was no, I didn't say anything about taking them down. I didn't care if they took them down or kept them up, but they're taking them down. And that's a good thing for some of the citizens of Chicago. And nobody's pissed off about it. They seem to be, hey, wow, take them down. Good, 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 good. Early voting in the city of Chicago is astronomical. I was at the polls today. I mean, this just astronomical. Lines were everywhere. I mean, people are getting out and voting. All those months I've been saying, get out there and vote. Maybe it's paying off right now, but everybody who's anybody is telling people to get out there and vote. Even Donald Trump is telling people to get out there and vote. I mean, Hillary Clinton is echoing the same thing. And I have been doing the same thing on this show, and a lot of other radio and television hosts have been doing the same thing. Get out and vote. And a lot of people see how the race is going. They paid attention to the three debates, which were awful in Donald Point's point of view. And they're voting. People are voting. And this is great. This is wonderful. And some of the pundits and reporters are saying, the people who are following this real closely are saying that the race is over. The election is over. And Donald Trump, his surrogates are out saying it's not over. And in some cases, I believe, I don't want to call her name because I don't want to give her any publicity on this show. She was saying that maybe Donald Trump is behind. And Donald Trump sort of admitted that he was behind. And Donald Trump right now, he's on Obamacare, saying he said something at a rally. He said that everybody who works for him are being affected negatively by the increase in premiums in this Obamacare. And then he goes back and says, no, maybe some of his employers are being affected. He doesn't know. Donald Trump doesn't know. Donald Trump shoots from the hip, and then he says something that's not true. And then he got to come back and say, he's got to say that it wasn't true. And maybe some parts of it is true. This is what's affecting Donald Trump. It's like that movie, Some Good Men or something like that. You can't stand the truth, to something to that effect. This guy doesn't know the truth. And the last debate, the third debate, I was watching him. And as the debate went on, Donald Trump was just rambling. Anything was just coming out of his mouth. Blah, 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 blah. Then he goes on to say they're taking or ripping the babies from the womb. Did I hear that right? Oh, it was a parody on Saturday Night Live. But generally, in general sense, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about the United States. He doesn't know anything about the Constitution. He doesn't know anything about the economy. He doesn't know anything about foreign policy. He doesn't know anything about abortion at any extent. He doesn't know the things that he should know to be running for president of the United States. And as I've said before, folks, Chicago and lots of people, lots of Americans, millions of Americans around the United States. They're voting, and they're voting in droves. And this has the Republicans on their heels. Because when Americans early vote like this, that's a sign for the Democrats. I'm not a Democrat, folks. I'm an independent. But there is no doubt early voting is benefiting Hillary. And Donald Trump knows this, and his campaign, they know this, but they're going to play it off. I mean, we have 2 weeks until the election. Unless something totally, totally goes wrong, Hillary's going to take this thing hand down, unless something comes up from out of nowhere. And who knows? Things happen at the last minute, you know. But that's not going to change what's going on now. That's not going to change early voting. Early voting is going to stick. Early people love to vote early. There's no doubt about that. People love to vote early, and vote early is paying plenty of dividends for the Democrats, who are poised not only to take the White House, to take the Senate, and maybe, hopefully, the House of Representatives. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is a good day. There's back-to-back coverage on television, the internet, all over the place of this World Series, because these two teams have not won in, not I can say decades, but some but in some cases for the Cubs, it's been over a century, 100 years. So it's exciting. It's very exciting. So if you can't make it to the ballpark, And if you're into sports, if you're into baseball, make sure that you tune in to Channel 32. You don't need cable to watch the games. You don't need cable. They're going to be on all week on Channel 32. You can have over-the-air television. You don't have to pay for it as you would if you've gone to the park. If you were lucky enough to get a ticket to go to the park and see them do this. Because people are shoving out big money. They are shoving out big, big money for this game, for this series. And if I had the money myself, I would go also. I would have a ticket, you know, $50,000. Yeah, give me one. But unfortunately, I'm not that lucky to have the type of money. And a lot of us aren't that lucky to have that type of money. But we do have... you have a home, you have family, you gather around the television, your big screen television, and hey, wow, just have a great time. I got a feeling it's going to be a lot of fun, folks. I'm not a sports guy. This is not a sports show. I'm not a sports guy. We talk politics here. But since I'm in the city of Chicago, and it's my Chicago Cubs that are playing the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland, so I'm going to get a little bit excited about it, because everybody's talking about this all over the place. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. Here's Keith Olbermann.
Every few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters. And we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own. The most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, Our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
All righty, all right. We were talking about baseball. We were talking about Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to know anything. I mean, if you see him out on a debate, seem like he's winging it all. It's just coming to him and it just coming out of his mouth the wrong way, probably. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is, what time is it? 6:29 Chicago time, p.m., and we're waiting for the World Series to start, folks. Wow, isn't it exciting? Okay, you can tell I'm exciting, right? It is exciting because we haven't won the World Series here in Chicago in over 100 years. Isn't that ridiculous? But it's true. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on. Go right ahead. George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty. I'm not getting you. Okay, we're going to try that again. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, maybe it's me. Let's see. No, it's not
you
me.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
As I was just saying, Trump wings it. And I'm not the only one who says that. I mean, all three of those debates with Hillary Clinton, and he lost them all clear, hands down in a lot of in the American people, in the eyes of the American people. He lost these three hands down. But he's saying that he won, and his campaign is saying that he won these debates, but he didn't. You know, I mean, the American people have the last say and the last vote on this, Donald. You lost. And the third debate, I paid a lot of attention to the third debate. I mean, I sat there like a little kid trying to take it all in, and Donald Trump was just all over the place. This guy, I mean, some of the things he said, I didn't, you know, my son could run for president of the United States and be a better talker and knowledge about things, more knowledgeable about things than Donald Trump. You know, one of the things, Donald doesn't know anything about the world. He doesn't know anything about the United States, and he doesn't care. And his supporters, they know that Donald doesn't know much about what's going on in America and the world, and they don't care. They don't care. But I want to say to people out there who are voting and voting in droves, don't get too complacent, okay? For those who are not voting because you think that Hillary's got this in the bag or you think that Trump has got this in the bag, don't think that. Get out there and vote. Because one of the things we have to do, we have to show the Republicans. I mean, Hillary just cannot win. She has to win big. You know, and I know it's a lot of Trump supporters out there that are listening to me. This is just me. This is just a George Wilder Jr. show. I'm not a Donald Trump fan. I will not vote for him. I don't think he's qualified. I think he's unfit. I think he's a liar. I think he did all the things that these women accused him of doing. Okay, you can 347-857-1762. You can call in and say, George, you're wrong. George, that's not true. But that's how I feel. You can call in and try to change my mind about this. But I am not a Donald Trump fan. Never have been. Never will be. You know, that's just the sentiment of the George Wilder Jr. show. All right. Okay. Once again, the renowned Herb Kent, the cool gent, passed away in the city of Chicago. And over the weekend, I mean, he did his show in the morning and afternoon. And later on that evening, that same day, he passed away. But he passed away doing what he loved doing. I think he said that if he was going to die, he was going to die doing what he did, doing what he loved doing. And he did. He did it. He was another one of those people, folks, that did not let adversity stop him from being the best that he could be, that he wanted to be. He didn't let adversity in any form stop him from reaching his goal of being a great disc jockey in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure it overwhelmed him because he was overwhelmed because, you know, 70 years. I mean, that's something. He was 88 years old. I say he was 88 years young. And Herb Kent, I mean, hey, wow. We all listened to him. He was the man of the hour. I mean, he made a lot of singing acts famous because he played their records. He played their songs on the radio, and we went out and bought those songs. If Herb Kent did not play some of those songs on the radio, we wouldn't know about them at all, and we wouldn't have been able to purchase them. And the singing groups who made those songs, they would have not gotten as famous or as rich as they did because of Herb Kent. He made a lot of these people. He even made, in some cases, he made James Brown, the Temptations, Stylistics, because he played a lot of these songs back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and even on up to the 2000s, because he was a dusty man. He liked to play dusties, and we used to gather, at least I used to gather around the radio, listen to dusty. Dusties are just old records. Old records that I believe it means that old records that they've been sitting on the shelf for so long that they became dusty and you would dust them off or something and play them. They were, you know, old, a few years old. And I assume that's how he, you know, coined the phrase dusty records. But it was successful. It was totally successful. And I'm going to miss him, you know, but he'll always be here in my heart. He will always be someone I talk about on this show because he was totally an influence to me, for me and a lot of other people who are on the radio, V103, WVON. These were influences to a lot of disc jockeys who are now on those stations and also even Black Talk Radio and some of these other internet radio shows. Herb Kent has been an inspiration and they are getting ready for his wake, his funeral, you know, maybe the burial. And I can bring you more of it until I get more of it. I can bring you more of it. But rest in peace, Herb. Herb Kent, the cool gent. And no doubt about it, go Cubs. Go Cubs. Go Cubs. Wow. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah, I want to say that I did go to the polls today, but I turned back around because it was crowded. You know, I was, you know, busy. I didn't know it was going to be that crowded. I didn't want to stand in a really, really, really long line when I had other things to do. So I'm going to make it back to the polls tomorrow. Totally this week, sometimes this week before the polls, because we got 2 weeks. So, you know. But I'm trying to let the crowd die down a little bit, if they do. But it's wonderful to see that people are voting. People are totally, totally voting. And that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing to see. And I applaud everybody out there who are instrumental in getting people out of their houses, off their asses, and into the polling places. I applaud you. I really do. We're gonna get this election. Donald Trump will not get anywhere near that White House, you know, because I do think, like so many others, that he's unfit. He's totally unfit for this. I mean, I'm an independent. Okay, if I thought Donald Trump was presidential, if I thought he was ready for the job, I would say it. I don't crucify a man for what he wants to be. I mean, if he's looking to me to give him my vote because he wants a job, he wants me to hire him. I can't hire you. I mean, even before the debates, he was going down in the polls. Even before the debates, he was on the floor in terms of polling. You know, but now he's in the gutter, and everybody who's anybody. Some of these analysts are saying that Donald Trump doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance in hell unless something spectacular happens on the Clinton side. You know, but let's play devil's advocate. Let's say if something does happen on Clinton's side, such as maybe a bombshell email or something. Early voting is going to stick. I mean, that's not going to change. If anything's going to change, it's going to have to be on November 8th. Because those votes, people who are voting early, those votes are in the can. They are in the can. And people are voting early in droves. You may not have anybody at the polling place on November 8th because they've already voted early. I mean, every polling place you go to throughout America, people are standing in line in droves. This is why the Republicans were trying so hard this year to suppress the vote, to keep you from voting. But some of these federal judges said no, like to Rick Scott in Florida, maybe even Scott Walker in Wisconsin, Texas, maybe. Without the impediment of the Republicans into these elections, people are free to vote. And it might be that Donald Trump has probably scared a lot of people to the polls. You know, that could be one way people are going to the polls. They don't want Donald Trump. Donald Trump has proved that he's not capable or eligible. And there are so many people supporting Donald Trump. The evangelicals, Christians, are supporting Donald Trump in droves and giving us all kinds of spin and lies and about why they support him. They really can't come up with a good excuse of supporting him. Well, he's an outsider. Well, he may not be as polished as a lot of other politicians, but he's straightforward. He's going to get the illegals out of here. He's going to, you know what? Hillary Clinton is not the best. She was not my choice at all, folks. Bernie Sanders was it. If you've been listening to the show, you know that Bernie Sanders from the day one has been my choice. Hillary is not my first choice. Hillary was not it for me. I took Obama over Hillary in 2008 because Hillary was, and her husband were saying all kind of racist things out. She has some baggage. She has some baggage, but there is no doubt in hell. She's more presidential than Donald Trump. Donald Trump has thin skin. We'd be in nuclear war. We'd be in World War III. He has thin skin. He doesn't have the ability or the knowledge to deal with foreign leaders. He's saying that he knows more than the generals, and he doesn't. I mean, I can go down the litany of list of the awful things he's said beside, groping women. I can go down the list of things, and you can too. It's all on the internet. It's everywhere. The guy's just not presidential. And people are going to the polls because they don't want him in office. They don't want Clinton either, but we're holding our nose and we're going to vote for her, but, and hope for the best. At least she's one of the things about having a President Clinton is Bernie Sanders will be right there in her ass if she doesn't keep her promises. He's going to be right there. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. He's going to have a part in her administration because majority of his voters are putting Hillary over the top. So we're going to hold Hillary's foot to the fire about all the promises she made during the campaign once she gets into office. And there's another thing, folks. If Hillary does become, and I say if, because I don't want to be too complacent, if Hillary Clinton does become president of the United States, she must have a Democratic Congress or it will be gridlocked through and through and through. You cannot vote for Hillary Clinton, put her in the White House, and then give her a Republican Congress. They're not going to do anything. She is not going to be able to fill that Supreme Court vacancy because the Republicans will stop her from doing it, just like they're stopping Obama from doing it. They will stop her from doing it just because they're just assholes, and because she's a woman and she's a Democrat, they're not going to approve anything. Remember, folks, we have a do-nothing Congress, and it is a do-nothing Congress. And folks out there, if you have a congressman who is a do-nothing, vote his or her ass out. You want a Congress that's going to work. You want a Congress that's going to get along with both sides, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. You want a cohesive Congress. You don't want people there that are not working together. They don't like each other, so they can't work together. That's crazy, but they're still getting paid with taxpayer dollars. We need, if you're going to vote for a Democratic president, vote for a Democratic senator. Vote for a Democratic representative. Take over Congress with Democrats, and then things will start to move. Things will get done. We all should know, you should know, that the 8 years that Obama's been in office, he has been obstructed left and right. He couldn't get anything done. These guys wouldn't move on anything. They just sat on their asses and got their checks while everybody else suffered. You have to vote straight Democrat, a down ticket. You must do a down ticket because you want to give Hillary, you want to put people in Congress that Hillary can work with and will work with Hillary. A lot of them say, well, we're going to work with her. We're going to work with her. We're going to work with her. You got to give her a Democratic Congress. That means you got to give her 100 senators. I mean, a majority of the 100 senators and a majority of the 435 representatives in Congress. She has to have a majority in both parties in order for them to work together and get things done for America. These people are going to do things for you. The Republicans aren't going to do a goddamn thing for you. The Republicans are going to do what they're going to do, everything they can for people who are rich like them. They're out there for the rich. The Democrats basically are representing the middle class, the poor. These assholes are representing themselves. They put their party over the country. Their party over the country. So it's great that people are voting in droves, but make sure you're voting down ballot. I mean, we also got a contest in the state of Illinois. I mean, Bruce Rauner, this guy is putting billions and billions of dollars, millions and billions of dollars, buying up politicians around the state and even outside of the state. Because he wants a majority in the legislature in Illinois of Republicans so he can control everything. And if he's controlling everything, it's going to be all effed up. So even the people in Illinois, they know they have to vote a down ticket. Because if they don't, this guy's going to have his way in the state of Illinois. And I actually think that he's not going to get there. I think the Democrats are going to keep the legislature in Illinois, and I think they're going to gain seats in Illinois, in the legislature in Illinois. So if Rauner comes up with any bull, like he doesn't want a full budget or he doesn't want a budget at all, Michael Madigan and the state legislature of Illinois, they can override him and present and get Illinois a full budget. Because right now we're operating on a half budget, which will be over in January, and then we'll be right back in the fix where Illinois, we don't have a budget. Remember when I was talking about this a few months ago on this show? No budget. It's about to start again. So that's why we need to vote. People of Illinois know that what Rauner is like. He's a failed governor. Rauner is a failed governor. And that's not only me saying that, that's the publications in the city of Chicago. The Sun-Times have said it in so many ways. The Tribune has said it in so many ways. I'm saying it. Other people have said it. Other outlets, excuse me, other people have said it. Was that a hiccup? Excuse me. Anyway, we have to vote a straight ticket on this guy. We can't have him getting control of the legislature, because that means he's going to have control over the schools, everything, because he wants power. The guy is jealous that he hasn't got any power. He's jealous because he's jealous of this being a blue state. He wants to make it a red state. It's still a blue state, you know, but if it turns Republican, it becomes a red state. And I can't understand why so many states down south are Republican states. And the majority of these states down south, the population is black, and or close to it. But you know, you have to tell yourself, and I'm pretty sure a lot of these states like Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, Dallas, Little Rock, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, a lot of these states are voting in droves. And that's a good thing. Georgia, a lot of these states are voting in droves, and that's a great thing, folks. And that's a great thing. All right, we're moments away from the World Series, folks, and I am totally excited about that. I hope you are too. I am totally excited about that. And like I said before, these young kids deserve everything that they've got coming to them. They've got here. They deserve it. I mean, I think in the regular season, the Cubs won over 100 games. That's a great thing. And it's about to start. I'm about to go out and get the popcorn, folks. Oh, wow.
Every few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters, and we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own, the most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, I will never lie to you, who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering child care to his employees when it was child care for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of five Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia, who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in two tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the Pulse nightclub, who congratulated himself after the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, who congratulated himself on predicting Brexit, even though 3 weeks earlier he had never heard of Brexit, who congratulated himself on Republican convention TV ratings, even though those for his closing speech were lower than John McCain's, who congratulated himself by disseminating a video showing how much of that speech's total running time was taken up by applause, who congratulated himself on having the world's greatest memory, then 3 weeks later testified in a deposition he had no memory of ever saying that. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has proposed that Russia or China should enact a Watergate-like hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails, who has proposed banning Muslims from entering this country, then said it was only a suggestion, then proposed it again, whose running mate has proposed banning members of other religions, who has proposed open racial profiling, who has proposed banning people from terror nations, saying, look it up, they have a list, who has proposed ideological certification for immigrants, who has proposed worse than waterboarding while praising how Saddam Hussein, Vladimir Putin, and Kim Jong-un handled protest and terrorism, who has proposed that American civilians be tried by military commissions at Gitmo, who has proposed killing the families of terrorists or suspected terrorists, a man who has proposed teaching mandatory patriotism in school, proposed that his supporters appoint themselves as Election Day voting monitors, proposed making American protection of fellow NATO members COD, whose campaign proposed purging the government of all Obama appointees, proposed avoiding government debt by printing more money, proposed reducing national debt by paying less than we agreed to, proposed forestalling new financial regulations by executive order, and then in the same speech, proposed eliminating some executive orders. A man who has proposed a wall along the Mexican border to keep out undocumented immigrants, proposed mass deportation of undocumented immigrants, proposed a smaller wall and fewer deportations during a taped TV interview that played at the same moment he was giving a speech in Phoenix, insisting on a larger wall and more deportations. A man who has proposed immediately expelling at least 2 to 3 million undocumented immigrants, even though this would be like trying to evacuate the city of Chicago in one day. Proposed immediately expelling any others not convicted but merely accused of a crime. A man who has proposed to enact all this by executive action, bypassing Congress, even though he employed undocumented immigrants himself in the building of Trump Tower, even though those immigrants say he not only knew of them but hired them personally, even though his own modeling agency and television shows enabled and employed undocumented immigrants, even though his own wife may have worked here without proper documentation, even though his own grandfather was reportedly not merely a fraudulent emigrant to this country, but was also denied re-entry to Germany because he was a draft dodger. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who claimed he understood the sacrifices of losing a child in war because he had spent money to hire employees, who has claimed he understood prejudice against African Americans because the system is also rigged against him, claimed the election will be rigged against him, claimed the opinion polls are rigged against him, then praised one of the exact same polls when it favored him, claimed he would be leading those rigged polls by 20 points, but for rigged media, claimed Democrats are voting 10 times each, claimed that his crowd in Colorado Springs would have been larger, but the fire marshal was a Democrat, claimed that his speech in Washington would have drawn as many as Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, but that nobody would let them in. A man who has claimed he was his own best foreign policy advisor, claimed that Putin will not go into Ukraine when he had already invaded Ukraine in 2014, claimed the U.S. is paying rent for a military base in Saudi Arabia when the last one there closed in 2003, claimed that to avoid hacking the military should stop communicating on wires and return to messengers. A man who has claimed that any candidate using a teleprompter should be ineligible and then himself began using a teleprompter. Claimed that he does not use notes for speeches during a speech he gave primarily from notes. Claimed he will fix the problems of African Americans and then days later suggested that an African American athlete protesting police shootings should leave this country. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who was revealed to have asked his foreign policy advisors 3 times in 1 hour why this country can't use nuclear weapons if we have nuclear weapons, after having asked a television interview the same question, who was revealed to have not known what the nuclear triad was, a man who is revealed to have been the political beneficiary of fake internet accounts underwritten by the Kremlin, revealed to have improperly sought campaign contributions from foreign nationals, including officials of foreign governments, a man who was revealed to have erased all his emails, including those sought in a lawsuit for 5 years, revealed to have plagiarized 20 pages in his Trump Institute handbook, revealed to have employed the purported author of his wife's convention speech, which plagiarized part of a speech written for Michelle Obama by Hillary Clinton's former speechwriter, revealed to have said on his 2008 radio show that Hillary Clinton would make a good president, a man who was revealed to have admitted using the pseudonyms John Barron and John Miller while pretending to be his own press spokesman and boasting of his sexual conquests in the 1990s, and revealed to have used the pseudonym John Barron while his company threatened his undocumented workers, revealed to have telephoned one television network to alert it to something positive being said about him on another television network. A man revealed to have millions in outstanding loans to the Bank of China, revealed to have tried to make investment deals with Muammar Gaddafi, revealed to have once kept a book of Hitler's speeches in a cabinet near his bed. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has allied himself with his campaign advisor and delegate, who said Hillary Clinton should be shot by firing squad for treason, who has allied himself with another campaign advisor who mused about waterboarding Hillary Clinton, who has allied himself with an African-American pastor who disseminated an image of Hillary Clinton in blackface, who has allied himself with his own son who follows a series of white supremacist Twitter accounts, a man who has allied himself with at least 7 campaign staffers who have disseminated racist and or violent messages on social media, who has allied himself with a state campaign co-chairman who tweeted, "Lynch Loretta Lynch," who has allied himself with an Illinois Trump delegate who is a white supremacist, a California Trump delegate who is a white nationalist leader, a former personal butler who wrote on Facebook that President Obama should be, quote, hung for treason, a man who has allied himself with 3 different campaign chiefs, the first who manhandled a woman reporter and then lied about it, the second who was listed to receive $12 million from a pro-Russia political party in Ukraine, the third who has been accused under oath of anti-Semitic comments and domestic violence, a man who has allied himself with a foreign policy advisor accused under oath of anti-Semitic comments, with a New York State co-chair who suggested Khazir Khan supports ISIS and is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, with a close advisor who says a Clinton aide could be a Saudi spy or terrorist agent. A man who has aligned himself with a former campaign state chairman accused of drawing a gun on another campaign staffer. With a conspiracy theorist radio host who claims the Newtown school shootings were a hoax. With a political operative so corrupt he was once fired by Republicans for falsifying evidence against Hillary Clinton. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has offered to pay the legal fees of any supporter who becomes physically violent against a heckler, who encouraged crowd members to harass and threaten a reporter who he called out by name and who then needed Secret Service protection, who accepted a military medal from an audience member and said, "I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier." Who conducted a news conference to introduce his running mate only to spend the first 25 minutes talking only about himself. Whose prominent Latino surrogate warned Mexican immigration would put taco trucks on every corner 4 months after the nominee himself commemorated Cinco de Mayo by tweeting a photo of himself eating from a taco bowl. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who tweeted thanks to singer Billy Joel for dedicating songs to him, never realizing Joel was, by doing so, mocking him. Who gave a trade speech in Monessen, Pennsylvania, standing in front of a wall made out of bales of compressed garbage. Who bragged during a presidential debate about the size of his genitalia. Who gave a TV interview while seated in front of a photograph of himself wearing the same suit, shirt, and tie. Who appeared in a joint news conference with the president of Mexico with two bobby pins visible holding his hairdo in place. The Republican
All right, that's the always powerful Keith Olbermann. I love him. He's great. He's doing something for GQ, and I've been watching him and listening to him since his days at MSNBC. He is electrical. He's powerful, and he does not like, as you probably heard, he does not like Donald Trump. He doesn't, but I'm on Facebook here, folks, and it says the Cubs are playing the Indians right now, and they're underway. They're totally underway, and I hope you guys, well, we got about 20 more minutes into the show, 22, 23 on the show, and yours truly is going to be kicking it back and eating some popcorn and watching the World Series and having a great time doing it. And I hope you guys do, too. I mean, if you're into sports, a lot of people out there are not into sports. And that's sad in my estimation. But, you know, to each his own. And I hope you don't have a grudge against me or other people who are into this kind of thing. And I am. I always love sports. You know, I even tried to go out for one time for football when I was in high school. I wanted to go out for football. You know why? It was a dumb reason to why I wanted to do football when I was in high school. It was because, all right, check this out. The reason why I wanted to go out for football when I was in high school was that I wanted to get the girls. Because all the girls, it seems as if they wanted a football player. Anybody who was in a football uniform or anybody that was, you know, playing in any type of sports in high school, at least the one I was going to, they got the girl. And I was in awe of all of that. And I wanted to get the girls too. And I wanted to go out for football. But we had a team. I'm not going to call a high school because I don't want to give anything away. The team at the high school that I was going to at the time, they were always losing. Every time I look around, they lost again. They lose. They lost. They lost. And every weekend or so before, or every day before a football game, they'd be on the stage. They'd be in the auditorium on the stage. Ooh-rah, ooh-rah, and all this shouting. Then they go out and get their asses beat. And I would see this, and they would come back with broken arms, broken legs, on crutches, in wheelchairs. And I'm saying, do I really want to go out and play football? Because at that age, I was afraid of getting hurt. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I did not go out for football, because I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want a broken leg. I didn't want a broken arm. I didn't want a broken back because every time the team came back from a game, they lost it, but they came back all banged up. And I'm saying, no, that's not for me. No, no, no. And I never played football because of that. And I don't regret it. Even to this day, I don't regret it because there's so many kids out there who are getting hurt in football. And there are parents out there now telling their children to stay away from the game. If you're going to play sports, go into baseball, even basketball. But stay away from football. Even people in the National Football League are telling some of the high grammar school and high school coaches of sports in those schools to lay off basketball because of one of the things, concussions. And it's an impact game. And, you know, so there you have it. That's one of the reasons why I didn't go out for football. I do love the sport. I think it's a great sport. They are implementing so many changes and rules to try to keep the concussions down. Just last week, one of the backup quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears, I mean, somehow the offensive line didn't do their job and the quarterback's arm was broken. You know, and so that's why this week we're going to be getting Jay Cutler back. We're going to be getting him back for Monday's game, which is Halloween. So, and the Bears are 1-6. They've won one game and they lost six. So we're going to be looking forward to that. But right now, the World Series is about to start. The game itself, the first game in the series, is about to start. And that's interesting. That should be totally, totally interesting. And I hope you people enjoy it, because I know we are going to enjoy it. We will be right back, folks.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, folks, they're debating all over the place. I mean, there's politicians and their ads are running all over the television. You barely can watch a movie or anything, or let alone baseball, because you got all these political ads, and they're going to be running simultaneously during this the World Series, and that's ridiculous. But you know, these politicians, they got to get the word out. I'm watching a debate right now for the comptroller in the city of Chicago, but the state of Illinois, the comptroller. A lot of people don't even know what a comptroller is. They pay the bills, okay? They help to pay the state's bills. And the state bills are not getting paid under this governor. So as I was saying before, this governor is spending a lot of money to buy politicians, to buy elections, even outside of the state of Illinois. He's sticking his paws or his money into other outside elections to try to influence those elections in other states. He's trying to become a big time player in politics. And basically, the guy is a businessman. Simultaneously, to Donald Trump, he's a businessman, but they're using their dollars. I don't have anything against anybody that's rich. Hey, I think it's great, beautiful. You did it. But you don't want to use. They're using their money to step on the little guy, step on the working class. That's wrong. That is totally wrong. So politicians are all over the place. Their ads, campaign ads, are all over the place. Money is spent like, you know, like water, you know. Most of these guys are crooked anyway. I mean, most politicians are crooked. Yours truly, I wanted to be a politician at one time. And then I just, you know, I told myself I didn't want to be around a lot of corruption. And I didn't, because I was out there. I wanted to help the people. I guess most politicians do start out being an advocate for the people, a representative for the people. But once they get in office, somehow they become corrupt. I mean, you think about Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, who just gotten out of jail. But I think she's on home monitoring system. I don't know. Politicians just does something to people. I mean, they become corrupt. And I think that this governor, our governor, the state of Illinois governor, I think this guy is as corrupt as you can get him. You know, I've said this from the onset. They're going to be taking this guy out of the governor's mansion and handcuffed one day. You know, because I think this guy is more corrupt than anything. He's done more damage to Illinois than he's done good. I don't see anything this guy has done good. If he's done anything, he's done it with his executive authority. He hasn't gone through the legislature to try to get anything done. And he doesn't care. He's like Donald Trump. He doesn't care. And I think that by they trying to tie Bruce Rauner with Donald Trump in some of these political ads on television, no doubt about it, Rauner, he has an anchor around his neck. Something Donald Trump is going to pull him down and going to pull the rest of the Republican down in the state of Illinois. Because early voting, early voting equals good turnout for Democrats. I'm not a Democrat. I mean, I jump in the Democrats' ass just like I jump in a Republicans, I jump in their asses. But there's no doubt about it. Donald Trump is not fit. I think if an independent was running, I probably would vote independent. But, you know, I'm looking at Hillary Clinton. She's not the best. She's not the greatest. Just like sometimes Obama, he's not the best. He's not the greatest. I held my nose and voted for Obama the second time around. Now I'm holding my nose to vote for Clinton the first time around, even though I do think that she's going to be an extension of Obama. Okay, but But still and all, with all that negativity, I do think that she is a better shoe-in fit for the presidency than Donald Trump. I mean, if just think about it. If we vote, if Donald Trump became president, there is no doubt about it. He will give Sarah Palin a cabinet post in his administration. Sarah Palin, he will give Chris Christie a cabinet post in his administration. He give all of these clowns a cabinet post in his administration. He will give his kids a cabinet post, each a cabinet post in his administration. And they don't know Jack. They don't know Jack. They don't know anything. They don't know more any more about the government than he does. These people don't know anything about the Constitution. They may know the First and Second Amendment to the Constitution, but that's it. You talk about the 19th Amendment, they know nothing about it. If you or any amendment or the 25th Amendment, any amendment, they don't know anything about. So it would be a travesty. It would be a travesty to put Donald Trump in office, because it we would have wars. He would go after the media. He can't stand the media because they say things about him that is true. He doesn't like that. They put his words hit him back with his own words, and he denies it. And I think he said at some rally that he was going to get back at the media. Somebody was saying that he's going to go after the New York Times. He's not going to sue anybody, but he may try to put them out of business. You know, that's the same thing I thought about Obama when he first became president. I thought he was going to go after Fox, because Fox was really in Obama's ass. I mean, they was all, but he never did anything to him. He just let him be. He just lets Fox News be Fox News. But anyway, we watched all three debates. We watched all three of them. And Donald Trump lost them all. Flatly. He fell on his face flatly in all of them. He doesn't think so, but the American people, we think so. And like I said before, he was losing in the polls even before these debates. People have to remember that Donald was losing before he was down in the polls before the debates, because of this tape that came out that he was groping these women and grabbing pussies and all of this stuff. He was going down in the polls right then and there, but these debates just cemented that. That's all they did. They just cemented that. So, folks, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. I mean, early voting, you can early vote because a lot of people are doing it. And I can tell you this, they don't mind standing in long lines. This is a historic election. There's never been anything like it. This is one historic election. Folks, get out there and vote. And watch the World Series tonight if you can, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow, because there's going to be a game tomorrow, and I will be back on the air tomorrow, and we're going to talk about it, the World Series. All right, here we go. We'll be right back with this.
Heaven help the child. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Help us all. Heaven help us, Lord, here I am. When we fall.
I lay me down before I go to sleep. In a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep. Keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
All right, we're just about off the air, folks. I hope you join me tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the World Series. We're going to talk about more. We're going to be talking more politics and all of that stuff. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me. I don't feel too good today, folks. I'll let you know how I feel tomorrow, but sometimes it gets this way. All right, bye-bye, folks. Thanks for joining me. The George Wilder Jr. Show is off the air.